Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Nasanta's Reel with yours truly, Nasanta Law. Now, I am just smiling because I feel so blessed to know that my voice is now playing in countries like Ghana, Nigeria, Australia, I saw Russia, New Zealand and so many more countries, and I am beyond thankful for your support. And again, though you listened and you heard welcome, this is me telling you welcome again to the Reel family. And if it's a case where you're listening for the very first time, I extend the warmest, sincerest, genuinestest welcome to you, because you are now officially a part of the Reel family. Yes, like I'm legit, this is me clapping. I need to work on my clap, but yeah, so you're welcome to I welcome you to Nasanta's Reel. Yeah, so in the event that you are listening for the very, very first time and you don't know what Nasanta's Reel is about, let me summarize this for you. So it is a Jamaican Christian podcast that is chronicled by me, Shakira Ferron, aka Nasanta Law, as I navigate through my life's experiences. And it is where I share real events that impacts me, and it is targeted for real persons in need of real encouragement on my audio reel. So in essence, my aim is to share with you all to help you, because I recognize that we need persons in our corners to help us in this Christian walk of life. And even if you're not a Christian, you need people in your corner who will support you, who will help you when you are struggling. So the aim of Nasanta's Reel is to provide this. So yeah, with that said, I'll just say that this is actually part two of my interview / collaboration with Crowned in Faith. So I am actually recording on September 30th, 2020, and it is recognized as World Podcast Day. So to all the podcasters who are listening, thumbs up, you guys are doing a great job. And yeah, I don't know what else to say, but yeah, thumbs up everybody, and we're in this together. And I do hope and I do trust and I do pray that you will get the listenership and the numbers and everything that you've been praying, hoping, working for in time to come. Don't give up. If you're a new podcaster, don't give up. There'll be times when it seems as though nobody isn't listening. When you're not really getting feedback, you're like, are these people being impacted? You're wondering a lot of things. But I mean, just push yourself. It's bigger than you. Don't look at the numbers. If it's a case where you're using an app that shows you how many persons are listening and so on, don't get addicted to it. Delete that app sometimes. I do that, and once in a while I just go back and I'm like, okay, God, I see what you're doing. Yeah, thank you. So what I was saying is that today is the 30th of September. However, my interview with Crowned in Faith / Nia Cerise was when was it? It was a week ago. It was the 22nd, I believe, of September. Yeah. And you're listening this on October 2nd, and that is really significant because this is where we get real. This is where I reshare something that I shared with Nia Cerise, and like off the record, and she was like, you need to share this testimony. So this recording is going to be redone because it talks about what happened to me October 2nd, 2018. And I'm a bit nervous. I feel a bit nervous, but yeah, let's get into it, as well as eventually you'll be hearing the dialogue with Nyerseris and myself after I share the story. But at the time it wasn't that in depth, but now it is and it will be, sorry. And yeah, this is where we get hashtag real. So in 2018, around August, I would say that I was strong in my faith, in my Christian walk with God. I was like, yeah, God, I put you at the forefront of my life. We have a lot to do, and I just want you to do some really great things in my life. So in doing so, I made a prayer list, and I was like, God, this is what I want you to do. And I remember clearly asking God to allow me to, one, be more purposeful, walk in my purpose more. And then the next thing was that I remember that's significant to this story, was to remove everybody who's in my life who will hinder me from achieving purpose and all of that. All of those good stuff, you know, when you're on a spiritual high, you be like, God, do this, do that. And you don't really know the magnitude of what you're asking God to do. But he knows. He's like, okay, you asked me. Don't come cussing when you recognize that your whole life is about to blow up. Anyway, so moving forward, that happened. I forgot about it. And then it reached a point where my aunt at the time, she's no longer with us, well, with me and my family and her friends and so on. Yeah, I made that awkward, I'm sorry. But yeah, she got sick, and at that time I started praying. We were all praying that God would just come through and grant her healing and all of those lovely things that we always pray about when someone is sick or when we're sick or so on. And I believed in God that God would turn things around and all of that. But then she passed. And that took me out. I was, from the moment that I heard, honestly, I was so angry. I was legit angry with God. I'm like, but I prayed to you and all of this. Why would you do this, God? And then the light just went out at my house. And this is where we go to be continued. So it's the next day, actually, and as usual, my kind of usual, I'm outside. So if you don't really know much about Nasanta's reel, just know this one thing, that for many of her recordings, it's done outside because she loves nature. Okay, so in the story, I was at the part where my aunt died, and just like how the light went out at my house, the light went out in me, I would say. Yeah. And because I knew that being angry with God isn't something that I was necessarily supposed to do, I said, you know what? I'm just not going to pray to you certain ways. I would get up in the morning and be like, okay, thank you for waking me up. That was it. We didn't have no more conversations because I was really angry and I couldn't understand why this had to be so. Why did the end result have to be death, you know? So moving forward, I started to listen to like reggae music and other contemporary music and music that weren't necessarily they weren't necessarily being pillars of strength to me spiritually. So I would say that for a while I was spiritually dying and all of that, and I really didn't care, because in my head honestly, I felt like I was more spiritual than ever. I remember one morning waking up and listening to Chronics, and don't really remember which song, you know. And I must start bawling. And typically, like when I wake up in the morning, and if I'm supposed to listen to like a gospel song, I wouldn't be crying like that. But then me, I say, yeah, jam a filio. Anyways, so that was the point that I was at. And when it concerned the church, it was like, I remember going to church and persons were talking, the moderator, they were talking about, oh, this, I don't even remember what exactly she was saying. And I was saying, this old hypocrite up there, sir, come talk to me. Why should I come talk to me, bo? God will this and God will that. She don't know nothing. And I remember saying it to one of my cousins, like, me not really want to hear what a lady that I feel say, you know. Like, she can't just come down after that, the pulpit there, whatever. Because it really felt like a hypocrisy kind of thing for me. So going to church was just done out of habit more than that word. Yeah. So moving forward now, yeah, it reached the point where I was going to enter a competition with some friends. And I must note that at that time, they were my really, really good friends, like my great friends. And upon recording, I would say that on my end of the spectrum, I hold no grudge, because I've prayed it through. Yes, I was hurt, what I'm going to get into now, I was hurt and all of that, but it needed to be done. And yeah, so let me just get into that part now. So yes, so we were supposed to enter this competition, and I remember at that time we were supposed to work on the script, and we were working on it. However, we had class, and then we were like, oh, this needs to be done now, and it's a collaborative effort. That was October 2nd, 2018. Yeah, we were like, you know, I'm taking a pause to see if it was really October 2nd, because I had it in my notes. Oh yeah, October 2nd, yeah man. So we had class, so we were like, huh, we need to do this. Then someone suggested, why not let us have a sleepover and we can work on this. And I was pumped, because I'm like, yes, sleepover, we're going to be productive, and thus said the Lord, and all these wonderful things. Because, you know, sleepovers are just about being productive when you're at a sleepover. Huh. So I thought. And then I remember calling my mother, and I was like, Mommy, here's the thing. We're in a competition, and we need to write the script. We need to do this. Is it okay if I go to a sleepover and I included the names of the persons who would be there and all of that? So my mother, she's super, super in touch with God. Like, I kind of fear that lady sometimes, because she can pray for you and then God just show her everything for you. So, yeah. And like, she was like, are you sure that's all that you're going to do there? So I was like, yes, mommy. And in my head, I was like, why is this lady asking me this? And then more than one time, she was like, are you sure? And I was like, yes, mommy, that's it. And then, you know, I felt normal. I'm okay. And then I called my aunt, who I lived with at that time. And I was like, I'm not going to be coming home tonight, such and such a thing. Like, it just occurred to me. So I not even did of clothes for God, the people that me had.
That's crazy. But then I did buy some stuff at school, like toothbrush, and yeah, we don't need to go into that, but yeah. So after that, now I remember being in class, being in a lecture theater, and one of the persons was like, hey, we're gonna get weed gummy. This is where the story gets real. Weed gummy. So I wasn't really paying them much mind, because for me, when I'm in a class, like, I talk to everybody. So most times the teacher up there, whoever I'm near to, I'm chatting with them. And that's a bad habit to have. And I'm happy that I'm basically done with school like that, where now it's social distancing. So if I should go back to school, I won't have anybody to talk to like that. Yeah. So I wasn't really paying them mind, but I remember when we were on our way to the sleepover, they pulled out the package and they were like, hey, we have weed gummy and Shakira, go get high and this and that. And I was like, I'm not going to take any of this and so on. And they were like, why you move so? So I was like, I'm not going to take any. And then I got silent. And how did I feel at that time? I don't recall. Anyways. So, like, moving forward now, we went to the house, and while we're at the house, I admit, I didn't represent Christ. They were playing, you know, secular music, and me just a dance. Like, me as a Christian, that was done with. That was OVER over, and many people didn't even know. And that's a tragedy where, in the lives of many, it's like, people see us doing the quote-unquote rituals and they don't even recognize that we're really far from God. And that's something only we and God can actually know. And I believe that we need to be more accountable for each other. We need to be able to detect when something is spiritually off. But yeah, moving forward. So that happened, and after that, her sister was prepared the dinner and so on, and remember bathing and so on, and after bathing, dinner was ready, so got my dinner. But then when I went back to where everybody, well, the majority of the persons included in the sleepover were, we started to engage in a conversation, and at that time the person, one of the individuals, was like, hey, we're taking weed gummies and you need to take some or something like that. Don't remember the words to my invitation to nearly bursting out my brain cells, but something like that. And I was like, no, I'm not going to take any. And then she was like, blah blah blah, take some, blah blah blah. So it was like a back and forth blah 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 conversation, like, take some, no I won't, take some, no I won't. And then what took me out was when she was like, but the other person who was there took two, so you have to take at least half. So I wanted them to shut up, so you know what I did? I took less than half. Right? And in my head, I was like, nothing is gonna happen to me. Like, I am good. I am Gucci. I am not susceptible to getting high, because I'm not susceptible. Okay? Okay, don't judge me. But lo and behold, I believe less than 30 minutes later, guess who was laughing at somebody who was acting high? Me. And after laughing at the person, I started crying. While laughing, I was like, she's going to die. And then start laugh again. So then I was like, oh my God. Mahai. Wame agado, mahai. And then they started to laugh. It was I was laughing because I didn't understand the series of events to come. So I was laughing as well. So we began to laugh. We laugh and we laugh and we laugh. But then I realized that I couldn't control my bladder. So I was just laughing and peeing myself. So this is where it kind of gets graphic now. I asked for a sanitary napkin to be that barrier between me fully wetting up myself and so on. And then after that, my head started hurting me. My heart started pounding. It was a lot. And then I remember at one point I was like, guys, I have the answer. I know the stages of this. First, your head starts to hurt you. And then, like an idiot, like I remember everything that happened. So, yeah. And they were laughing. And I was laughing. And then after that, I started moving mad. And then they started videoing me. And at that time, I thought that I was the biggest entertainer around. So, yes, of course, I was placing much more emphasis on being an idiot and so on. But then, I think stage two took place. And I recognized that, hey, after that I regurgitated less than 30 minutes later, you know, brother, sister in real ones, and like that was when I recognized that things were real. It felt like there was a helicopter over my head. Funny enough, there's a plane over my head. I'm not sure if you can hear it, but this is so interesting, fascinating. So yeah, that happened. And so it was like I kept hearing this helicopter coming, and then after a while in my head I was like, but it seems like you took something to activate a demon inside of you. And for me, I normally hear that when you get high, you normally it's like your real self come forth. And to be honest, the real self for me was my relationship with Christ. So I wanted to pray, and I tried to pray, but it was like the prayers was bouncing off the wall or the ceiling and coming straight back to me, and I felt helpless. And I remember at one point they were saying to me, don't call your mommy, your mother doesn't really have to know what's happening. And I was like, okay, if I can't call my mom, who am I gonna call? And then while that happened, the other girl, she was really, really sick. Because like I said, she took two. That's crazy if less than half have me away. So eventually she was knocked out. She was sleeping. And yeah. And then after that, I felt left alone. And I remember at one point, I called one to pray for me. And I was like, hold me, I think I'm going to die. She's like, you're not going to die. And I was like, pray for me. She just stood there. She held my hand. And I kept repeating, I'm going to die. And eventually, she left my side. And I remember hazily looking at her and some others laughing. Shakira said, she's going to die. And then I remember clearly thinking, are these people really my friends? Wow. I'm left alone. I'm lonely. Are these people really my friends? I know that I'm trying to kind of being dramatic, but at that time, that was really what I was thinking. Are these people really my friends? I'm telling you that I'm dying, not because you've gotten high before and so on. No mean say, you must leave me by myself and I laugh after me. That was what I was thinking. And then I recognized that me get knocked. And then after that, it felt like something was running up and down in my throat, and my heart was just racing. It was just racing, racing, racing. And then it was like I had a thought under a thought under a thought under a thought under a thought. It's like no thought was straight. Every thought had a thought, had a thought under a thought under a thought under a thought under a thought. And I don't know if that's how people feel when they get high, but that's how I felt. I couldn't think straight, and then I started to think about every single person that I know that I have gotten high before. Many of them never come back to. So I was like, maybe I'll never come back to. And after thinking about that thought under a thought under a thought under a thought, I started to think, then maybe you're not real. You're dead. I started hearing that you're dead. You are not real. All of this that's happening, it's a part of your imagination. At that time, I didn't know what to do with myself. I kept hearing my mother's, from the moment I recognized that I was high, I kept hearing my mother's voice. Are you sure? Repeatedly, it was like an echo. It was like my conscience. It was like a lot of things. In the thought and the thought, she kept seeping in. And I didn't know what to do. I think I started crying, but I don't want to lie, so I won't say that I was crying. But I recognized that I was alone, that I was vulnerable, and that I tried to read the Bible as well. And I remember an instance where I had the Bible on the bed beside me, because eventually I tried to lie down, but that didn't really help me. And I remember one person taking up the Bible, and I was like, these people, I'm not in the right place. I'm not in the right place. Oh, so there is no significance of the Bible. I was like, leave the Bible. And I left the Bible open. And because I was trying to find back my relationship with Christ, you know? And moving forward now, there's something significant that I wanted to share, but I don't remember. But yeah, that happened. That time the girl was knocked up beside me sleeping. We were lonely. So I was like, oh yeah, I remember this. There was a small voice saying, don't sleep. And I was there literally fighting sleep. Like, I felt like it was time to let go. But, all right, let's pause. Yeah, so that there was that voice, and I remember when I couldn't take it anymore, and at that time I was battling. Tell your mom, your mother, tell one of your close cousins, or just be by yourself. Listen to these people who said, "Don't tell your mother." And I remember texting. I decided that I am going to do this, because there was also a voice that said, "What if all of this is real?" And you need to push so that you can make it out of this situation. So I started listening to that voice, that what if this is real? What if you're not dead kind of voice, you know? That still small voice. It was softer than the you're not real voice. So I was like, okay, let me give this a chance. Let me give this a try, right? So I remember texting one of my friends. I started to think about, no, first of all, before I texted somebody sensible, I texted somebody who I knew had a lot of experiences with high, and I thought that he could help me through. So I messaged my friend, and I was like, hey, I'm high. Can you believe what he told me? He was like, go have some high sex. I was like, what? I stopped texting him. Legit stopped texting him. Then I started to think about my friends who I could actually count on to pray for me. Because you need those people in your life that no matter what you go through, no matter what time of night, I think it was after one, after two at that time when I decided to start reaching out. I got hyped maybe after 10, after 11 or so, yeah. And I decided that I will have to text somebody sensible. So I text another guy friend who's a part warrior, but he didn't respond. So I was like, me get knock. But then I remember that I have another friend, so I messaged her and I was like, hey, I'm high, I need you to pray for me. No, I think I was like, hey, I need you to pray for me. And she was like, what's wrong? So I told her I got high, I got high. And she was like, how you get high? And she was trying to call me. And in my head, like, the internet service wasn't going well, so she kept asking me the same questions over and over because there was a lot of break. But in my head I was like, I am making up this conversation, and that's why I have to constantly repeat myself. So she kept asking me the same question, and then the reception was poor. And same time, there was a start saying don't sleep, because I really just wanted to let go. And I just wanted to give up, because it felt like this was done. This was done. This was it for me. And I remember at one point thinking that I hope that I die so these people can see how dangerous it was that we got high, and how bad it was that they left me by myself, and to show them that they're not good friends. I remember thinking like that, Lord, just let me die so that these people can learn their lessons. And and in my high, I started to think about my dead aunt. I started to think about dead people and high people who lick them head and never come back to. Yeah. So anyways, moving forward. And at that time, like I said, my heart, it was beating rapidly. Like it could just jump out of my chest at that rate. So anyways, now, we started texting and I think voice noting. And I was like, she was like, okay, I'm going to pray. And she was like, she's going to tell her father to pray. And her father is a pastor, and I didn't care because I needed all the prayer that I could get. And after a while, I was like, hey, I needed to call my mother. I didn't have any credit, and at that time, I felt a bit strange to call my mother after 2 a.m. or so. And she was like, are you sure you want me to call your mother? I was like, yes, I am sure I want you to call my mother. So she called my mother. My mother called me, and she was pissed. Can Christian say pissed? She was upset. And in being upset, she was like, in her stern motherly voice, what happened? Started telling her, why did you take it? Mommy, I wasn't thinking. What do you mean you weren't thinking? Mommy, I wasn't thinking. And then she gave me a rant. And then I was like, Mommy, can you pray for me? Pray for you? Pray for you? After you do what you do? And then she hung up the phone. Okay. I was like, shoot. My dead now. My fully dead now. My mother don't care either. And after I told myself that, the thought came, you're not real. So you just made up that whole situation. But in the midst of it, my friend reached out to another friend, and he was praying for me and praying with me. And I remember it reached a point where he was saying, hey, I see a friend, and she's like spiritually low, not the exact quote-unquote words, but he was like, yeah, she's spiritually low, and a lot of things, and so on and so forth. And I was like, yeah man, a good smother this, a pray for me. Though, yeah, good smother this, a pray for me. And after that, no, it reached the point where my skin was legit on fire. But I didn't share that with my friend. But he could tell her that God was repairing my skin. And when I heard that God, like when I legit, I want to cry, tears are coming in my eyes now. When I heard that God was in the midst of this, that was when I felt, like when the socket is plugged into the plug, and or the plug is plugged into the socket, and I felt an energy. I felt re-energized in Christ. I felt like maybe I had hope. I felt like maybe I wouldn't die. Maybe things would get better between me and God. And you know, all of those great thoughts came back. Came into my spirit, and I was like, I started to cry, but then it wasn't that effective. And I remember him asking if he could call me, and I was like, sure. And I remember him speaking basically life into my spirit, and he was saying what God wants me to know, and saying that God loves me. And you know, we always hear God loves you. But when you hear God loves you, like he loves you, that resonates differently in your spirit. And it did in mine. And after that, he was like, he prayed with me. And the anointing and the spirit of God, it came down, and I felt it. And then he was like, I need you to pray. And then I remember praying. And I know that it might have sounded weird to them in the house because, you know, I began speaking in tongues after my... It took me a while though. But I began speaking in tongues and so on. And people would be like, you know, maybe some voodoo, obia, witchcraft thing happening. But none of that. I was being restored and so on. And I felt rejuvenated. And after that, after feeling rejuvenating, it was like I was beginning to come off my high. And I was beginning to see where God isn't leaving me out. I began to see where things could get better. But then I had another obstacle because my mother called me again and she asked me the same question. What happened? Blah, blah, blah. Not blah, 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 but concern, concern, concern. And I started telling her again. And the voice was kind of still there, but it wasn't that low to say, you're not real or something of that sort. And then she told me to drink sugar and water. And she was like, you make it for yourself, don't let them make it for you. So I got up and I started doing that. And eventually, you know, I was still being prayed for. I was still dialoguing with my friend and so on. And I was beginning to feel better. And then it reached a point where my mother called again and she was like, did you drink it? So I was like, yeah, how do you feel? Not 100% good, but I'm getting better. That time I was still, the helicopter was still coming. The demon was still jumping and down in my throat. I call it a demon because it felt like a demon. Maybe it was, I don't know. And yeah, all of that was happening. Heart was racing. The other girl was still sleeping. I was abandoned. And I was still thinking, are these people really my friends? So moving forward now, my mother, when she called again, she was like, I need to talk to them. So I went to them with the phone. I was like, my mother wants to speak to you. And my mother was like, what did you give my child? And a bag of questions and so on and so forth. And I remember them giving me attitude. And I remember me, like, honestly, you being in people's house, talking, telling on the... I was a bit of an informer, I admit. The journalist in me started reporting everything that was happening. If them did move so, or them face makeup, me report that. If them this, me report that, right? Yeah, so that did happen, and my turn reports, and after that I went back to the room that I was in, and then they came back and they had a conference. Conference. So the conference was held, and in the conference they were like, why did you call your mother? Didn't I tell you that you're not supposed to tell your mother what happened? Then another was like, I didn't even know that you took something, because yeah, she didn't take any. I didn't even know, blah blah blah. She was more on the sympathetic side. Yeah. And then another was like, who if there are people yard and a talk and whatever. You're lucky, so we're not like certain people who would have leave you out of the road at night time and whatever. And deep down I was like, yeah, you have a point. Please don't kick me out. and then the other person was cussing some bad words at me, and that was where I knew it was real. And this was what happened that really made me see that after that day, because I recognized that I was real. So after that day, we couldn't go back to the way how we used to be. She was like, and I remember distinctly, because it's not the person who issued the poison will remember, but it's the person who took it. So she was like, you never did have to tell your mother. The only time your mother did have to know if fraud did come out of your mouth, and a daddy really did a dead. For those who are not Jamaican or don't understand the Jamaican patois, what she was saying was that your mother didn't need to know about this issue. The only time when she really needed to know was if there was certainty that you were actually dying, and the sign of you actually dying was if you were, you know, spitting up or things from your mouth, foaming things from your mouth to confirm that you're on your way to to your debt and whatever. So that moved me significantly. That moved me. And after that, I was like, could you please delete all the things that you have of me? And then she was like, yeah, you need to delete everything that you have sent out about us and so on and so forth. And she's like, yeah, mega delete it because I don't want to have any bad word thing with you and so on and so forth. And I was like, okay. So moving forward, they left me and my mother called me again and she gave me a scripture to meditate on. And she was like, God revealed this to me. I won't get into that aspect of it because... Alright, let me... You know that script? It was in Psalm where it was like the scripture that said they plotted against me for my soul in the pit and so on and so forth. I need to reference it soon. I don't clearly remember, but I'll make a jotting of it in the description. Yeah. So that she said that while she was praying, God revealed that to her, and I started crying because I was like, how could they plot against me? Or not even them. How could they allow? How could they give in to the evil spiritual realm and plot against me? Me, with the so-called so nice to them. Me, with never hold back on loving them and showing them appreciation and all of that giving and not recognize the evil that was done to me, right? So moving forward now, throughout that night, in order to soothe me, I started listening a lot of songs. I remember Tasha Cobb's album. It brought me through. Big up Deezer. Yeah, Deezer helped. And I started, it was YouTube at that time. I started listening and it soothed me. And you could say that I didn't sleep because I was like, I can't sleep. Suppose them come for me. Suppose them come for hurt me. Because I admit that I knew that talking about what happened there to me was something dangerous with, and it could have serious repercussions and so on. So yeah, that happened. And moving forward from there, now in the morning, the only person who asked me if I was okay was the other person who was knocked out. So she didn't really know what happened throughout the night and so on. And that day I was supposed to come home to St. Anne because school was in Kingston, which is the capital of Jamaica, for those who don't know. And St. Anne is a garden parish, one of the best parish, the best test parish. Yeah, I'm being biased, but I think it's a proven fact because all you Kingston people and all other people, you love to come to St. Anne. So, yeah. So I was supposed to come home, and one of them had a class trip. So, you know, they had to go back to school really early and stuff. So a taxi was called, and listen, I think we woke from after 7 or so or whatever. And there was no, are you okay? The place was so, you could feel the shift in the atmosphere, and you recognize that we are not on that level anymore. And the person that I expected to even say, are you fine, didn't say anything. The only thing she asked me was about transportation. Will you be traveling with them? And so on and so forth. And it reached what took me out and made me realize that this is real, 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 was when I was like, could the taxi drop me in maybe half a tree or somewhere thereabouts? And she was like, it's not going to travel that route. But in my head, I was like, but me I gotta pay my taxi fare, because me I gotta pay the taxi. It must can be where the taxi can drop me where me want to go, not just take that one route. Because, yeah, that logical. But at that time, I never voiced it because me there people yard. Me need to just leave. So, yeah. So at the time, so the taxi came and she came out and she was like, can you just drop her at the end of the road? Some start in, like, me, I go to the taxi and me did done ask the man if him can drop me a half a tree. Him say, sure. She come now and say, can you drop her at the end of the road? So I was like, seriously? Are you being serious with me? Really? Are you being serious with me? But then the man dropped me at the end of the road and I was like, okay, this is it. I'm not going to tell them if I'm safe or nothing because obviously they don't care and so on. So I stood there. Then I got a vehicle to a transportation to drop me to downtown. Because I was like, I am not going to go to Crossroad because it kind of looked like I was on a walk of shame. And these people knew me, the taxi people, to get to my destination. They knew me. So I was like, no, I'm going the other route. And while I was on my way to Crossroads, she called and she was like, did you get a transportation? And I was like, yeah, thanks. So at that time, I was like, okay, I'll let her know when I'm home, right? She still didn't ask if I was okay. And I mentally noted that. I don't hold a grudge anymore, but I mentally noted that. So, yeah, you reach that point. And then while in the vehicle, my heart was still racing, the thing felt like it was running up and down in my throat same way and so on. I didn't feel well at all. And when I got home, I messaged her that I was home and she was just like, okay. Not okay, but it was better than just K. Yeah. So I was like, since she didn't ask me how I was, I'm not going to tell her how I was. So I called my mother, said I'm home. She was like, how do you feel? I was like, blah, blah, blah. She was like, take it easy. I was like, I don't think I'm coming to St. Anne anymore. She was like, well, you should know. But then I was like, I'm going to come. And you see, after that, after the call, that was where I broke down in tears when I remembered every single thing that happened that night. I just had to cry because, number one, I could have lost my mind. I didn't have to be this mentally intact as I am. I didn't have to be alive. I could have had, there's a lot of things that could have happened to me by just taking this because, you know, I was overthinking. I could have had a heart attack, a seizure, so many things. I could have died. If I had just slept, I feel like that could have been it for me. And when I think about how God allowed persons to just pray for me, how though my mother was upset with me, she never judged me to the point where I couldn't really like tell her more of what's happening to me. I just had to cry. I gave God thanks for the guy who prayed with me because he messaged me. He was like, how are you feeling? And even my friend who she used him to pray for me. And I was just thankful and I recognized that my life going forward could never, ever, ever be the same again. To add to all of that though, I came to St. Anne. My mother, she exploded on me, but that was expected. And it reached that point where it was like the next day, the girl who was sleeping, she messaged me. She was like, are you okay? Because we had a WhatsApp group and I left it. I legit left it. We had a WhatsApp group, I left it. And she was like, but before that, she was like, are you okay? So I was like, yeah. And she was like, I was like, not really. I wasn't okay. Because for more than 48 hours, my heart was racing and me never feel well. And so on. Me legit never feel good. And so I described it to her. And I have the screenshot of her saying, I'm sorry, we forced you. We forced you to take it. Didn't know that it would be like this, whatever, whatever. So I screenshot that because I was like, I was forced. You admitted it. Because I gave in to peer pressure, honestly. And I know that I had the sensibility to choose. But I would say that I was peer pressured into it. And then I could have not given in to peer pressure. But I gave into it. But so I kind of like 50% blame myself. No, 75% blame myself and 25% blame them. So, well, blamed. But I still blame me. Yeah. And yeah, that happened. And after leaving the group, the friend that I thought would be most caring towards me, and the friend that didn't take it, and she was the one in charge of the whole transportation thingy. She only messaged me to ask me why you leave the group. So I was like, I don't understand, why is it that you're asking me about something as trivial like this, why you leave the group, instead of are you okay, blah blah blah. She was like, I was getting to that. So me, I said, no, get to what if my okay first and all of them something there. And then towards the end she was like, I don't even know what to say. In my head I was like, you don't know what to say? You don't know what to say, despite, yes, I tattled on you and everybody else, but if I was really your friend, you could say something like, I'm sorry to start things off, you know? But that didn't happen. That didn't happen. So after that, me basically did like cut them. And then after that, I was affiliated with some other friends and they didn't do me anything. And I was doing YouTube at the time, basically cut them off. I sent them a message that, hey, I'm going through a lot of things and I'm unable to do this, so cut this off. So at that time too, I had different leadership positions. I messaged them, I can't do this, and cut this off. It was that time where I was being very impulsive about just cutting off everybody and just going into us, and I didn't trust nobody but God. And my family, some of them, a joke. But my family. So I deliberately went into a season of isolation. And at that time, I only trusted, like, externally, I only trusted persons in, like, my quote-unquote UCAM family. And soon, I want to touch base with UCAM and big up the UCAM people, them. UTech UCAM, and I want to touch base with different Christian fellowship groups all around the world. So in the event where you are a president or you're on the exec, reach out to me, because I want to reach out to me so that we can discuss what it is that you guys are doing now in this season of quarantine to help other persons who are at home. I want to do that because I recognize that I couldn't have gotten out of that situation if I didn't have a firm spiritual family around me. And I believe that many persons might be going through things right now by themselves. And if only they had a spiritual group of persons to support them, to pray them through and all of that, they would be okay. So listen, just link me on Instagram at nasanta.law. That's NASANTAD. Oh my God. NASANTA.LAAH. Yeah, just reach out to me. You could be in Uganda, wherever, and you have your Christian fellowship group. Reach out to me. We are going to touch base, conduct interviews and so on, have a conversation, get real, so that persons can know where to go in this season. That's the movement. Yeah, we're gonna get real. Yeah, man. Oh yeah. So now to get to the falling action of the story now. So at that time too, I started looking that I needed a new group of persons to deal with and so forth. Some of you may be introduced to Patricia on the web with my podcast. So I can call Patricia by name. So Patricia was always in my life, but she wasn't that integral in my life before. And at that time, she was a person that I started leaning on. And in leaning on her, I started to recognize that she was my answer to prayer. like my prayer started coming back where I needed an, oh, I prayed, I asked God for an accountability partner, and she became my accountability partner. And in becoming my accountability partner, she has become so much more than that. Like, she's the kind of person where we go sleep tonight and we'll come back tomorrow. We describe basically the same dream. We finish each other's sentences. We laugh on cue. It's just beautiful. And I give God thanks. And, you know, establishing our friendship, we started going to each other's church services. I invited her to UCOM. She never came. My English not so right. She never come. I switch the portal because it get difficult. She never come. But I started to feel like there was a shift in my life. But at the same time, I was still mourning. I still had to go through the 5 stages of grief with losing these friends, because, like I said, they were my family, and I didn't want to hold a grudge. I wanted to learn how to forgive them without them giving me I am sorry or something of that sort. And I remember there were days when I saw them and it's like me get nervous, me can't make eye contact at that time, because I would say that my program is kind of small, well, the year group. So, and by third year, you know that everybody feel like them are family. And in feeling like that, it's like if I was hanging out with, let's say, Patricia would hang with other people who hang with them and so on and so forth. So things got really awkward. But I was purposeful to say that I am not going to give in and so on. And then it reached that point where they entered the competition and they came second. And I was really proud of them, but they didn't know that because I never expressed it. But I was really proud. And I remember at one point I broke down, legit broke down. And I was like, God, I understand that you made these, you separated us. And based on the movie too, I recognize that this wasn't something that I was supposed to be a part of, because it quote unquote went against what I stood for as a Christian and so on. So looking at it from that point of view, I understood that God had to separate me for a reason. But then I was like, but God, you separated me, what you have for me for do? And I started crying, because I was like, you shift me. I know you have me now, do nothing with my life. I'm just there like this. Just I go through. Me not feel like nothing bigger happening in my life. And so on. But I didn't give up. And after that, I started scouring the internet for like Christian content. And that was where I met up on Nia Cerise, Crowned in Faith. And I remember watching her talk about her journey and so on. And I was like, I want to do something close to this. I want to impact people, God, and so on. But it wasn't like I was like constantly asking God to allow me to do this. I was like, I just want to be bold like her, and so on and so forth. And at that time too, she helped me to let go of things like horoscopes. I was deep in it. Like, I would want you to tell me your birthday, like if I just met you, tell me your birthday so I can know if we can get along, because I'm so called Virgo, or I'm so called Taurus and whatever, so I want to know what you are, if we can get along and so on. And I wanted to get into yoga and stuff, but then when she spoke about breathing in different spirits, I was like, okay, you need to let this go. And but yeah, she showed me that your experiences, in order to reach people, you have to be real and so on. So that was good. Moving forward now, I remember on Twitter, God bless Twitter, there were some persons on it who were like, we're going to go into 10 days fasting. Who wants in like from January 2019? And yeah, January 1, 2019 to January 10, 2019, want to go into it. And I recognize that I was among a group of UK people. I was the only Jamaican with my enough self, but I didn't care. I felt like I was a part of something big. I was a part of something related to Christ, and it was international, and I loved the feeling. So I fasted and I prayed and so on. And I remember them saying, asking to share what it is that we're fasting about, and I would be like, I'm fasting about this today, I'm fasting about that tomorrow. I just felt excited and so on. And I remember before the fast ended, God started to show me some stuff, like hashtag the real ones, to create this platform that allows real people to share their story and inspire others. And he started reminding me of what I went through, and started to show me that many times he allows us to go through things not because it's going to hurt us, but because it's going to bless somebody else who's struggling and so on. So he started revealing these things to me, and I felt empowered, I felt purposeful, I felt ready. I remember making something in After Effects, some video promo thingy, and after that I was beginning to go hard about it. And then I remember praying, and I started crying. I was like, God, I don't want any of this to be me. Do not let this be me. Don't let it be me, God. I want you to be the fuel behind all of this. And so on. And then he revealed to me. He reminded me. And I saw myself again. Remember that time when you were crying? You were praying? You were asking me, what's that big thing that you have in store for me? Well, this is the big thing. And again, I just started crying. I was like, God. Because he even gave me the tagline, touching all nations. He's like, this thing is going to be international and whatever. And international, that big. Even if a one person per country, that big. So I started to cry. I started to cry, honestly. And yeah, that's how the real was really birthed. And a part of it couldn't have been done without God using Nia Cerise. And yeah, that's the story that I shared with her, but it wasn't this in-depth and all. But yeah, I know that I rambled a lot and I stumbled a lot, spoke a lot, but I needed you to go through the events with me so that you could understand what it is that I went through, and to show you that as Christians, we are going to be susceptible to falling short of the glory of God. But despite falling short, despite falling into the darkness, Jesus is that light to pick us up. And I see where God will just allow us to go through the dark periods in our lives to show us the light, and to show us that, hey, hold on to my hand. Though we're going to come out of this darkness, we're going to be choosing a different path. And I am the light that will lead you to that path that I want you to go. Because I realized that when you were by yourself, you were stumbling into a lot of darkness and you didn't even see because your eyes were spiritually closed or things of that sort. So Jesus allows these things to happen. And I can't get persons to come on this reel to be real if I can't be real with you and admit that I made some mistakes in my university life. But nonetheless, Jesus washed me and now he's using me, and he can use you too. And the getting high, I believe I got high. I've gotten high like maybe 2 times, and I'm not really sure if that high was a high, but I know that it shifted something in me. But that time, that high was different from this high, because that high helped me to be happy. What do I mean? It was actually around the same friends again. But that time, it was 100% me. So I was going through some emotional thing. Like, I was really moody, and she was saying to me, the one that spoke about, if the one that spoke about not calling my mother and so on. So we were really tight, I must say. And so it reached that point where I was going through some emotional thing, and she thought best that in order for me to be okay, I have to do something extreme. Now, I pause here and say that we have to be careful with the persons that we lean on when we're going through things, because persons are going to share what to do based on their narrative. So, plus, if they have never been through what you've been through before, if they're not going in the direction that you're going into, then the advice is going to be clearly different and take you off the path that you have been trotting on. So you have to really be careful of the persons who you place in your inner circle, because like I said, their advice is going to be based on their perspective, based on their narrative. And for her, coming out of an emotional turmoil was to drink, was to get high, and so on. And I gave in. And I don't blame her. I blame myself, because it's who you surround yourselves with. And I remember, I'll insert this as well. Nothing is wrong with interacting with persons who aren't of the same faith as you. But what's wrong is if you make them your bosom friend and you allow them to have the great influence in your life so much that instead of you leading them in the right direction, they are the ones leading you out of the direction that you have purposed in your heart to go. So note that briefly. Yeah. So, moving forward now. I drank at school. I admit, I used to drink quite a lot at school, on campus, with my friends. I think maybe I drank more than I went to UCOM fellowship or prior services, I admit. And that's to get into another time. But I'll just express that the reason I didn't stick with the pact was because I felt like the pact didn't really want anything to do with me, because I wasn't really like them, as well as it was off me to say that I am different and I don't know how to be like them. I used to feel like a hypocrite because I'm not necessarily the traditional Pentecostal girl who is always going to be in her long skirts and stuff, as well as always, you know, always defending the doctrine and all of that thing. I'll just be the one to share that, hey, in conversation, this is what I believe, and so on and so forth. So I used to feel indifferent. I didn't know how to be myself around them. I felt like I was just going to be judged and so on. So to save myself from feeling bad, because I gave myself that narrative, I just didn't deal with them. I dealt with persons who were quote-unquote gravitated to my light, and I felt like I was being a light to them as well. So yeah, drunk, and then we went to this weed. It was 420. We went to this weed festival, and I was so happy. And I got to experience weed ice cream. I got to experience other edibles. And I nearly smoked a blunt, because we could have gotten it free. But then I didn't. And I remember being so happy. I don't really remember how I got home, but I remember dancing and being so happy. And on that day, I was also drinking. And I was also drinking. Yeah, just drinking and consuming weed edibles and stuff. And feeling happy because I met Chronix. And took a photo with him. So, yeah, that was me. And I having been introduced to Nia Cerise and crowned in faith, I recognize that I am on an assignment and I am not fulfilling my assignment. And that was where my game changed. That was where I began to profess Christ more, that was where I started cutting off people again. And I know that many of them might not forgive me, but I say it wasn't about you. It was more so about me. And if I hurt you, I am really sorry. It was not intentional. It was not intentional. I just needed to be separate to hear God and to move in accordance to what God has in store for me. And yeah, I have rambled a lot. So I know some of you just want to hear Nia Cerise. So I will just cut there and let you in on our discussion. And if you are one who doesn't like the Lent, I'm really sorry. But if you don't mind, thank you so much for listening. So on to the other aspect of this reel. So that's how, you know, the real podcast is coming about. And yes, there are times when I feel like I want to give up and everything, but and then sometimes the numbers don't look the way that I want them to look. But then, you know, sometimes God reminds me that it's not about you, it's about me. So he humbles me that way.
Yeah, no, that is so true. And, you know, it's just remembering that anytime we fall, it's such an opportunity to remember, like when we recover, when God, you know, helps us to stand, you know, it's so beautiful because it again points to the grace of God, how good he is.
Yes.
And how kind he is. You know, God's not holding that against you. He's not saying, oh, because you did that, now I can't use you. Because you did that, now, you know, I'm going to take this from you. He's not like that. That's not in his nature. He has literally, the Bible even tells us that when we are weak, you know, he's strong. But on top of that, it says that draw near to the throne of grace, you know, when we're weak.
Yeah.
And so that just comes to, that just shows us that when we, you know, are, you know, we just feel as though we can't take it anymore, we're just, you know, we're falling short, all of this stuff, it points us back to the throne of grace. It points us to him. He's not looking at us, you know, saying, oh, look at you, you can't even do that. He is so compassionate, and he really is just going to continue to use you to do great things. And, you know, it's so good that you let those people go, because we can sometimes think, oh, those people were amazing.
Yeah.
They were everything. They were it. They were this. They were that. But they were actually toxic. In truth, they essentially wanted you to, like, I believe that these people would have tried to assassinate your character, yeah, assassinate who you are, gossip about you, anything that they could. Oh my goodness.
It was and humiliate me, because at that time the universe knew me as a Christian, but I don't think that I portrayed myself as a Christian the way that I needed to.
And so they were, it's also jealousy, that people don't like it when people, you know, walk with the Lord and they're kind of, they feel bad about themselves. Mm-hmm. So they want to try and tear others down, right?
Yeah.
They want to try and tear people down to essentially just kind of feel like they can't walk with the Lord anymore, because people feel like, well, if they're walking with the Lord, you know, I don't want them to, I can't walk with the Lord, so no one else should be able to do it. I can't walk with the Lord, so she shouldn't be allowed to do it, so let me embarrass her, let me shame her. And they're just allowing the enemy to infiltrate in their lives and overtake their hearts, so that they hurt and hinder people from loving Jesus.
Yes.
So this is actually the best thing you could have done.
Yeah,
you know,
it was to leave. The best thing, because after that, like, I saw where I was placed among actual Christians. I remember even introducing you to them, and we were like, guys, we're on an assignment and we want to let our lights shine. Like,
we started, I was then placed in a group of friends where we actually started going to church. We started fasting together. We started, you know, empowering each other. And I realized that everything that I lost, I needed to lose it to get to this place. I couldn't have gotten the opportunities that I have now if I was still living amongst them. Because I admit that I used to hide my light. And it's light, you know, who God created me to be. It impacted me in such a way that I hid a lot of things. Just hiding who Christ is in your life hides your feelings. It hides your personality. It hides your talent. It hides a lot of things. And many persons, they don't realize. They don't.
So true. And I'm so happy that you're just going to be unapologetic now.
Yes.
That is the most important thing. And there will always be things trying to cause us to dim our lights, because the enemy is actually scared of us. He's so frightened. He's so afraid.
Yes.
You know, and of a spirit-filled believer who loves Jesus and believes in God's word. And that's what you're doing. That's what you're encouraging. That's what you're pushing for. So, sis, just continue, you know, continue in that work. And God will blow you away, you know.
I'm already blown away. Just remain consistent. Just collaborating. honestly, you laugh, but honestly, just collaborating with you is me being blown away. I used to have a habit of putting limits on God, but now I'm done with that. I am done. Like, I have started to tell myself that, listen, you are a joint here to heaven, you know. So you're living average. I am done trying to live average. I am done trying to seek connections when God is the one that creates the networks. I am done. I'm just going to be like, God, this is the vision, and let him work.
Amen. That's what it needs to be. That's what it needs to be.
We put a lot of limits on God. And then another thing, if we don't put limits on him, we actually believe that God is a genie. But God's not a genie. He doesn't sit around saying, oh, I'm going to grant his wishes. That's not God.
Yeah.
And many times we fail to recognize that that's not the way it is. We fail. So, in spending a lot of time in the Word, I'm just amazed by God. I'm just ready to see what God has in store for me. You know, with Corona, a lot of people feel like it's the worst thing that could ever happen to me. Though there's the negative side, it's one of the best things, honestly, that has ever happened to me. I am more consistent in reading the Word of God. I am more consistent in spending time with God. My relationship has escalated, and I feel like that's the best thing. Yes, things are hard. Yes, I don't have a job, but I'm putting everything in God's hands right now.
And he'll work it out for you. And it may even be like right now, he just wants you to try and focus on. I'm in the same predicament. I mean, I'm applying to maybe go on to do some further education. But a lot of the things that the Lord wants me to do right now, it is a lot of ministry stuff.
Yeah.
And so with that, you know, it's just, you know, just walking in faith. There's just a lot of things God is asking me to do. God is birthing through me in this time. And we just have to keep walking in faith and reminding ourselves on a daily basis of how good God is and his faithfulness. Because when we say walk in faith, I think sometimes we think that means, I have faith in you, God. But you actually need to remind yourself, like, meditate on why God is literally doing what he's doing in your life. Meditate on his goodness, meditate on his faithfulness, and tell yourself, literally be like, God is not, he's not forsaken me. God is using me in this time. I am doing powerful things. I am going forth and I am doing X, Y, and Z. Because sometimes, you know, you can just kind of speak yourself out of what you're doing. You'd be like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
I don't have a job.
Yes.
I don't have this. You know? And you have to really speak that word inside of you. You know, when you read the word, don't just have it like, I'm just going to read the word today. Have it like, personalize that word. Speak that word into your soul. Pray that word over yourself. You know, even Psalm 27, you know, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? And the answer is, who shall you fear? You will fear nobody, because the Lord is your light and the Lord is your salvation. And speaking that over yourself and into your soul, so that your soul actually gets it. So you're not just glazing over scripture, but you're actually interacting with the scripture. You're eating it. You are pounding it into your soul so that you can actually walk in faith. That's what walking in faith looks like. And that what that does, it builds up a stronghold of the word within you, so that you're not building up strongholds of lies.
That's true.
You know, so just keep doing that.
You like us talking off the record, you have said some really profound things, and I'm wondering if it's okay if I like chop it up and, you know, still put it, you know.
Yeah, of course. I was even thinking there's so much that we're saying.
Yeah, like a lot.
Of course, yeah, of course, just, you know, add in, do whatever you need to do, because people need to hear. I don't know if you want to talk about the situation you went through. I don't know how vulnerable you want to be with your audience, but, you know, if you want to keep it real with them, that's also amazing.
I've been thinking about it, and it's like I want to, but I'm a bit nervous. I remember doing a podcast that kind of foreshadowed it, but I haven't come clean about it. But I believe that I should, because people need to know it. People need to.
Yeah, I definitely think you should as well. I really think you should. And I think it's because this whole message of everything that we've spoken on today is the fact that God's grace is sufficient. I think it's funny how people are going to see God use you and God use me in ways that will make people's jaw drop. Not yes. because we've earned it or because we're actually good in any way, but simply because God is good and God is who he is. Like Paul himself would slaughter, murder and kill Christians. And yet God used him in one of the most profound ways, to the point we're still reading his works today. He was so yielded and God used him so supernaturally. Like God does not care. God does not care about your past. He makes you a new creation. And even when we fall short in the faith as well, when we're actually walking with God, there is still an abundance of grace for us to receive. There is so much grace. And you know what that does? When I see how good God is, that he would still extend his grace to me, it makes me want to serve him with everything that's in me. It makes me want to obey him and love him with every part of me, because he is so good. I don't want to abuse it. I don't want to abuse his grace. I want to walk in righteousness, right?
Right.
But what it shows me, when we fall short and God still is prepared to love us beyond our actions, when we repent to him, oh my gosh, it blows my mind. It makes me just literally want to lay down my life all over again and just say, Jesus, you know, God, I'm yours.
Yeah.
Just use me for whatever. And that's how God sees you. That's how God sees, you know, any of your listeners who may even hear this message. You know, there's so much a grace that he's extending to them. And I think what you've shared is so real. Like, what is the point of being a fake Christian who just covers up all of their flaws or all of their... That's not what Christianity is about. It's not about... Do you get me? Like, it's not about, oh, I need to put this side forward or this side forward. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus and what he's done, and how every day he literally continues to sustain us by his love and grace alone. And so I'm so tired of meeting Christians who just want to put on this like perfect persona of like, well, I'm perfect and I'm this and I'm this and I'm da 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 da. It's just aggravating.
Yeah.
Because people can't relate to that. People don't even understand that, right?
Right.
You know, and so it's realizing that, you know, we are vessels who are weak but were made strong simply by the Spirit of God that lives inside of us.
Yeah.
Your story needs to be heard.
I will share it. I used to think that something was wrong with me because, you know, you meet Christians, the typical Christians, typical perfect Christians, rather, who just show a life where they haven't struggled or anything like that. And then you look at your life and you're like, but I'm struggling in every area, God. And it used to make me feel like something is wrong with me. And because of that, I used to sit by myself in the struggle, and I realized the dangers of it. And I believe that that's another reason I have this passion to just be real with people, because people need to know that they are not alone. People need to know that though they may fall 50 times, they can still get back up again. Though they may think that everything is impossible, God still wants to use. You know, while you're speaking, like, it just keeps coming back to me how our weakness is made perfect in God. God is the only one that can make our weakness turn to strength. If we by ourselves, we're going to always be weak. But He uses weakness to be our strength. Your weakness was your past, but no, it's a strength for you. It's a legit strength for you. So that
I can minister to people from it. I can literally minister to people from my past. And it's so amazing that I literally feel like I can relate to anyone. I can now relate to people. And it's not to say that you can't relate to, you know, you need a crazy testimony to witness to people. That's not true. But what it is helpful in doing, in the way in which God can turn anything for good, is that I can now connect with almost all types of people and all groups of people because of certain struggles that I've faced and certain things I've been through. You know,
by God allows, though we make the decision and He has the power to allow us not to do it, He allows us to go through it and then uses that same thing that we go through to reach people, because people won't just be, yes, it's good to talk about things in the Bible, but people want to know that in this era, you going through this story and you sharing it and you showing me how God came through for you, this is what I want to cling to because it's more relatable.
Yeah I agree, and it's important that we speak on these things.
It is.
Yeah, it is. So I'm really proud of you, and I think this is amazing, this discussion, you know, this podcast, it's so necessary.
Thank you It's all in God. I'm just excited to see what more He has in store for me and in store for His people. Because this is a time for people to just cling to God. With everything that's happening in the world, it's a sign to say this, your relationship with Christ, with your relationship with me, needs to start now, because anything can happen. So
yeah. So I agree.
So yeah. Thank you so much for listening to this reel where I got real with you as well as real with Nia Cerise. And I do pray and hope that someone has been blessed, or just, even if it's just one person, has been blessed by this, by me being real with Nia Cerise, one of the realest person that I know. And yes, don't if it's a case where you are not acquainted with Nia Cerise, then you can check out her YouTube channel. It's Crowned in Faith. You can find her on Instagram at Nia Cerise, yes, as well as on Twitter. So yeah, definitely check her out. In order to reach out to me, you can message me on Instagram at nasanta.laa. That's nasanta.laah. Or you can just send me an email at nasantalaa@gmail.com. I will respond. And yes, once more, we are touching all nations. Hashtag it's been real. Yeah. As well as, I am so happy that you decided to be a part of the real family. I
I just give God thanks. You are a part of that real big thing that God had in store for me. So this story is also really significant because you get to see how it is that you all come in with me, you know, acting in accordance to my purpose. So I love you. I love you all. And I'm praying for you, you all. I was about to say praying for you people. I'm praying for you real ones. And just, yeah. Also, I'm rambling because I don't have any notes. And that's what makes this show so authentic. So hashtag real. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, like I said earlier, if it's a case where you are a part of or you know a Christian fellowship group and so on, please let me know, email me. I want to touch base with you all to see what it is that you're doing and how we can best help other persons who need a set of persons to be a part of. Or if it's a case where you want to form like a WhatsApp group with people internationally so you can go on like a 10-day fast and so on, let me know. I want to be a part of this. I want to help other persons, touch base with real people, touch base with people who can help them in their journey. We need not struggle alone. God didn't put us on this earth to walk in our struggles by ourselves. So just let me know. If it's a case where you want to collab and share your story, let me know. Email me. WhatsApp me. No. Yeah, everybody can get my WhatsApp number right now because I have a business. So it is 876-505-2993. Or maybe 1-876-505-2993. For my business shout out for me would be I have this ongoing business called The Virtual Helper, where I am a virtual classroom assistant. So it's really for teachers where if it's a case where you need help with like setting up your Google Classroom or sourcing materials, create content creation and so on, I will do it for you. The Jamaican price is like 1,000 to 2,000 a day. If it's a case where you are international and you know teachers who need help, then just hit me up at sferon.virtualhelp@gmail.com and we can like talk things out. But yeah, that's it. Another shout out would be to wow, this is getting long. Another shout out would be to Caribbean Podcast. I am a part of that association. And yeah, if it's a case where you need more Caribbean podcasts in your life, just check them. It's a directory and you can see the different genres and so on that you can check out and support Caribbean podcasters as well as to end things. Hashtag Flourish Daily. Yeah, it's one of the bomb podcasts that keeps me in check and so on spiritually as well. So I recommend it. Flourish Daily Podcast on all platforms that you can find me on. So yeah, that's it. We have been real. So yeah, love you all. I look forward to hearing from you.